Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to MidWatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to spend with us, and I hope you had a great time on our last few shows that we've been having. And we had some great interviews, Wallace Henley, B.B. Winans, Marilyn Hickey. So we're getting a lot of good interviews in here. And just let me give you our address before we get started. It's Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You could email me, David@RevMediaNetwork, and we have someone that has written a beautiful book, and she's going to tell us about that. But I want her to talk to us about who she is and how she found the Lord, and just give us some testimonies about her life, and then we'll jump right into her book. Miss Teske Drake, how are you doing, Teske?
I'm good, thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. When we didn't get to get you at the ICRS, we're doing so many different interviews. I don't know if you were out there, but I know that that's where I got your media information, and I was like, you know what, I need to get a hold of this lady when I don't mean to call you lady. I need to get a hold of this person, so when I do have an opening, I'd love just to talk about things. And you're part of a conference that's coming up. We're going to cover that in a little bit. That's going to be a webcast by Creville. Is it a Kriegel Books Publications?
Kriegel Publications. Kriegel. Yep, Kriegel.
And that's going to be an awesome conference, and it's pretty. I'm seeing that they're doing a push for certain type of material and certain part type of outreaching and stuff. And before we jump into that, just tell us about who Teske is.
Sure. Well, I live in the Midwest, Central Iowa, born and raised, and my husband and I, we have 5 children. 2 that we have the amazing privilege of raising on this earth for the Lord, and 3 in heaven. And so that's what my book and my ministry is about, which I know we're going to talk about. But really, it was it's been quite a journey. I did come to know the Lord when I was a teenager, and I was in a faith that really didn't encourage the reading of Scripture and discipleship and things like that. So I know, I look back, and it was truly, God had his hand on me, and the Holy Spirit working in my life, where I was just at such a low as a teenager that I turned to the Bible, something that really was foreign to me, quite honestly. And one night, I just sat up all night reading the Gospel of John and crying and praying and realizing then, for the very first time, even though I had been taught it all my life, but realizing that God wanted to have a personal relationship with me through Christ. And so I trusted Christ that night. And in the years that followed, you know, I was pretty slow in growing. And my husband and I met in college, and, you know, neither one of us were living for the Lord. He grew up completely unchurched. We had our first child out of wedlock, and by God's grace, we stayed together, and we began to seek him in many ways, and we were married then. And when our son was about 3.5 years old, we felt like, okay, now it's time for us to grow our family. And I was in my first year of graduate school. We thought, okay, if we can become pregnant in the fall and have the baby in the summer, that'll just work out great for us. And we did. We had our plan, and we did become pregnant right away when we had hoped, and things were going beautifully in the pregnancy. So we thought, and we went in for a routine ultrasound at 20 weeks along and found out that our baby, who was a little girl that we named Chloe, that she had a condition that was incompatible with life. And so we were faced with a couple of really seemingly impossible decisions at that time. We could continue the pregnancy to term if she made it to term, knowing that she would die shortly after birth if she made it through birth, or we could terminate the pregnancy. And even though both of us were very far from God at the time, we just had a certain conviction in our hearts to continue the pregnancy and to let God decide when it was time for her to go home to Jesus. And so we did that. We carried for her for another 12 weeks, and she was born in May of 2006 and lived for 45 minutes. And we just held her that whole time, and we were a mommy and a daddy to her for as long as we could be. And, you know, God, I look back at that time, and God just did a miracle through her short, precious life. He brought me back to a faith that I had, you know, turned my back on, and he had never let me go. And then 4 months after my daughter died, my husband came to know the Lord as his Savior. And so ever since then, it's just been kind of a whirlwind of blessing and grief and joy all mixed up into one, you know, that we've also experienced two more miscarriages since that time. But with the Lord and with the hope that we have in Christ, it's been a different experience, you know. And so that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Amen. Amen. Now, that has to be tough to go through that. Now, how did you find comfort in the Word? I mean, and how did you find comfort? I know it's hard to even say to find comfort, but, you know, what helped you get through this? I mean, three miscarriages. What helped you?
You know, during my pregnancy with Chloe, after we had found out the news that she wouldn't live, I had a wonderful friend. Her name is Jen, and we were placed in the same office at our college. We were graduate students. We had an office. We were both TAs. And she just really spoke truth into my life, and she was such an encouragement to me, and she was sharing scripture with me. And I was so motivated by that, and I found so much comfort in that I began to seek out God's Word for myself, and I was just really digging into the Word and finding so much peace there. And sometimes that would be the only thing that would bring me peace, and praying, and, you know, and I don't want to sugarcoat it and make it sound like it was all easy, because it was not. Those were the hardest times of my life.
Oh, absolutely.
But there was just a peace there that surpasses understanding. And so just really seeking out God, and, you know, his promises are true. When we seek him with all our heart, then he will be found by us. And so certainly I found God during that time. And, you know, also just being in fellowship with other women who have gone through something like that, and other believers and other people who could just be a great encouragement to us, has brought a great sense of comfort.
Amen. And you had, and during the whole time, you felt God's guidance as well?
Yes. You know, several months after after Chloe had died, there was another couple in our church, and we had changed churches, and that's a whole another story for another time. And it is a very good thing, because actually when we walked in through the doors of that church that we were invited to, the first person who greeted us, which was weird to us in the first place, but they greeted us and they said, "Hi, how are you? What are your names?" And we said, "Teskey and Justin Drake." And their eyes lit up, and he said, "We have been praying for you," because they knew about us. And that just meant everything. And so we kept going back. We're still there. But there was a couple in our church several months later that were walking pretty much the same journey that we were on. And so we were able to live out the verses about being a comfort to others because of the comfort we ourselves had received from God. In 2 Corinthians 1, we were able to live that out with another couple and walk them through that. And then as the year unfolded and the years that have come, God has just birthed a ministry through us called Mommies with Hope, which is a biblically based support group ministry that I lead, where we're walking ladies through loss, pointing them to the hope that we have in Christ.
Amen. Now, is there a website for Mommies with Hope?
Yes, it's www.mommieswithhope.com.
Well, that's easy. That is nice. Now, as you minister in this arena and to the people that you know that need this, were you surprised? Was there a lot of stuff out there for people that have gone through this, or was there a book for you when you were going through it?
You know, there's not a whole lot there, especially from a biblical standpoint, and really that's why we started Mommies with Hope. You know, I was looking for a support group and for other people to talk to, and quite honestly, people were coming out of the woodwork, because once you go through something like this, it's amazing to learn how many other people have also been there. But there just wasn't anything biblical. There weren't any Bible studies. There wasn't, a biblically based support group, and I knew that that's what I needed. And so another gal and I, we met for coffee just to share our experiences with one another, and realized when we met that the Lord had laid it upon both of our hearts to start a ministry for women. And so the two of us founded the ministry together, and that's how it started, and that was 5 years ago. And so, of course, in ministering to other women, we were looking for resources that we could use. And there are some wonderful studies that could be applied in these situations, like, you know, studies of the Psalms and about, you know, grief in general. But we knew we wanted something very specific, and we just weren't finding that. And so long ago, I had kind of started to lay the groundwork for a book of some sort. And, you know, my thought then, as I began to write thoughts down and prepare devotions that I would do with the groups and just all of these little tidbits, writing on the blog that is through our website, I knew that whether or not the book was published, it was going to be written. And if it was intended for me to use it with a small group of women in Iowa, then so be it. But if others, you know, if it's intended for others, then that's great too. And it just happened that God has just opened a door for me to write a book that can be used by many.
So. Amen. Now, how long has this book been out?
The book released August 1st, and so it's just released, and it's exciting to kind of hear the feedback, and at the same time kind of scary that people are actually reading it, you know, and so, but I definitely want people to read it. It is a book about God's promises. Now, while I weave in my story and the story of other stories of other women, because that's important for people to feel that connection, truly each chapter really focuses on a different scriptural promise from God as it relates to loss.
Amen. Amen. Now this was something that you started how long ago?
Well, the book or the ministry?
Well, the book itself.
The book itself, let's see, I started it in the summer of 2010.
Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty good to get a book out in that time frame. And I see that you have plenty of good endorsements there. You got with Michelle Duggar, mother of TLC's 19 Kids and Counting, a precious resource that can help you to experience God's hope. That's nice.
Yes.
Now, I know it's just been recently released, but any feedback?
You know, all of the reviews that I've read so far, because there's a blog tour that has been going on through LitFuse Publicity, and if anybody finds me on Facebook and likes my author page, they can see the links to all of that. But all of the reviews have been very positive. Several ladies are saying, oh, I wish I would have had this book 10 years ago when I experienced my loss, or, you know, many years ago. And yet that it still has ministered to them today. And lots of people who are getting the book that maybe they haven't necessarily experienced miscarriage or infant loss, but they know someone who has, someone in their family or a friend or a neighbor or a coworker. Lots of people are getting it to offer to them as a gift, which I think is wonderful, because then you're validating what they've gone through, and that's what they need. They need to be validated and to hear from others that they care about what I've experienced.
Amen. Now, how important is it for people to talk to someone when they're going through a situation like this?
Well, you know, some of that depends on the person's personality. You know, not everybody is a talker. I will say I've had a number of women who've come through our support groups that choose not to share their story, or they're just there to listen. And I think that's fantastic, too, because they're there and they're hearing that they're not alone, and that's okay. But I do think it is great to seek out support and to find somebody else who you can relate to, because sometimes when we're grieving, especially this kind of a loss that's not really talked about a whole lot, you might feel like you're the only one that feels these feelings, or that you're weird because you feel this, or I'm not strong enough Christian. I should be able to deal with this, and I'm really struggling. And that's okay, you know, and I wrestle those tough questions in the book because, you know, I'm 6 years out from my first loss, and God has done some amazing things in my life, but there are times now when it feels like yesterday. And I want women to know that we can be real with each other, and it's okay to have those questions. It's what we do with that.
Amen. You know, you touched on this, but let's go a little deeper. What are some of the thoughts, that some negative thoughts that a person may get going through something like this?
You know, I think one of the main things that I see as I minister to women is that they might wonder if this is their fault. You know, if I miscarried my baby, something was wrong with my body. I'm not able to carry a child. There must be something wrong with me. Or it must have been that coffee I drank that I shouldn't have had, or the cleaner that I used. You know, a lot of times miscarriage and stillbirths and infant loss, they can be very unexplained. We may not ever have an explanation as to why it happened. And what we do as humans is we try to point the finger somewhere, because if we have an explanation, it helps us to cope with that. And so a lot of reframing I need to do with ladies is to really think about what they're saying and what the facts are. I definitely want to validate their feelings on that, and I can't take that away from them if that's what they're feeling, but we also need to look at the facts. You know, also another hurt that women often express is maybe feeling like family and friends don't get it, and maybe even their husbands don't get it, because, you know, even though their husband is grieving, it may look different than how she's grieving. And so, you know, I encourage open communication about that and giving each other permission to grieve. And, you know, she has to be sure to let him know what her needs are, because he can't read her mind, you know, and so those kinds of things as well.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Now, I'm looking at the chapter, Promise of Comfort, and you have something in here. It says, comfort overflowing. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, the promise of God's comfort really comes from being in his word, knowing him. You know, that's how I start the book out, in fact, is about Jesus, the ultimate promise, and how when we know Christ, we have the awesome ability to experience all these other promises that he has in store for us. And comfort overflowing is really about just being with others who have been there. And, you know, that's something that I'm able to facilitate in our support groups. And I know that there are not support groups in every community, but there are people who know each other. So even if you are able to get in touch with another person who has experienced it and have coffee and just to have some devoted time to share with that other person or a small group of ladies or maybe go through the book together, because there's so much peace in being able to do that together. In Scripture it tells us to carry each other's burdens, and this way we will fulfill the law of Christ. We're not intended to do this alone. And, you know, this whole concept of comfort overflowing is about the verses in 2 Corinthians 1, where it starts out about, you know, giving praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us with the same, so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we have received from him, and about sharing in our sufferings with one another so we can also share in that comfort.
Amen. Now, you've been asked to be a part of the Women Redeemed webcast event. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, I'm really excited about that. The Women Redeemed webcast is this Thursday evening, and it's going to be operated online through Facebook. And so if you just go to facebook.com/KriegelBooks, it's K-R-E-G-E-L, books, there's a button there that says Women Redeemed. And what this is this will be a live interactive time where myself and two other authors who are tackling some really tough issues as well will be just sharing our heart, our message, our story with anyone who's watching, and then people will have the opportunity to interact by commenting in their questions or tweeting their questions, and we'll be able to address those live through the webcast. And so my book is obviously about miscarriage or infant loss. The other two authors are Kim Cotola, whose book is Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, and Don Scott Jones, whose book is When a Woman You Love Was Abused. And so it's a guide for husbands whose wives have been sexually abused as children. So really tough issues, issues that are not talked about a whole lot openly in the church, but creating a safe place for women all over to come together and to find some camaraderie and some hope.
Amen. And what time's the broadcast again?
It's at 7 o'clock Central Time, and again, it's through facebook.com/Kriegel Books, and you can just click on the Women Redeemed button there. And if you go there now, actually, you can sign up for a reminder. You can get a reminder for the day before, 3 hours before, 15 minutes before. That way, if you're online, you'll just get that reminder that it's about to start, and you can join us there.
Wow. So now, years ago, when you went through your first miscarriage, did you ever see yourself being here, being able to help people like you're doing today?
No, not at all.
Oh, wow.
Because I was, quite honestly, when we received the news of that, of the diagnosis for our daughter, I wasn't even really in relationship with God, even though He had never let me go. I had turned my back on Him. And to see that just 6 years later, how He has healed me and just transformed our lives and brought my husband to Himself and just changed the entire path of our lives for good and to bring Him glory is a miracle to me. And so I feel very blessed and very humbled that He would use me, and I consider it the greatest joy. I mean, besides my salvation, it is the greatest joy to be able to serve Him in this way and to point people to His Son.
Amen. Now, mommieswithhope.com, tell us what kind of resources are on there for people and what they can expect in the future.
Sure. Well, Mommies with Hope is, there's a blog on there. I try to write on there several times a week, and so you can always expect to see some new posts there related to loss and related to faith and hope. I have some posts running this week about redemption, because that's really the theme of the webcast, Women Redeemed. And in the Psalms it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their stories, and so I'm talking about that this week. There's a video right on the homepage that gives a good synopsis of what Mommies with Hope is all about. There is some additional resources on there for the book. And so if you are interested in the book and you're thinking about maybe leading a small group through the book, there are some PDF documents right on there that will give additional discussion questions and ideas for how you can facilitate that in a group setting. You can sign up to receive our newsletter, and all the information is there for how to get in touch with me.
Amen. Now, with the website and with the book, did Kriegel find you, or did you find Kriegel? How did this happen?
Well, you know, it really is quite a story. I was not, like I said, I wasn't planning to do all of this stuff. You know, what it was is I had known about the Proverbs 31 Ministries She Speaks Conference, and I was excited to maybe go to the conference, but given that it's in North Carolina and I live in Iowa, there would be expenses. I was in graduate school, and it just so happened that Lisa Turkhurst was hosting a blog contest on her blog, and I linked up to it. I wrote a blog post, and Cecil Murphy had donated some funds for scholarships for the winners, and I happened to win the blog contest. And so I got to go to the conference, and at the conference, it's a conference for women who have a heart for speaking and writing and women's ministry, I was able to propose my idea for this book to Kriegel, and several months later, you know, after it goes through all of the levels of review and whatnot, I was informed that they were interested and wanted to offer me a contract to write it, and so that's how it came about.
Amen. You know how blessed that is?
I know.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's kind of unique.
Yes, it is. You know, I go to the ICRS every year, which is the International Christian Retail Show, and
yes.
Everybody wants to get their book published, and they're out there looking for it, so for God to open up that door, and, you know, I'm in the publishing ministry as well. I have Rev Publishing, so that's the branch of our publishing, and it is difficult to get someone out there and to get them to get your book, and so God had a path, you know, from this entire journey, you know, because, and I really believe, if you don't mind me saying this, but because of your attitude and your heart going into each situation, you know, God honors that. God honors how you come into a situation and how you deal with a situation, and because you have a sensitivity to Him, and that you're open to Him, that He's going to use you, and He's going to use you as a blessing to just reach people. And there's something about just obedience, just obeying God, and God just honors that. And I just want to encourage you. Give us your websites once again, and talk just a few more minutes about the webcast, so everybody can get to that.
Yes. Well, my website is mommieswithhope.com. I'd love it if you connect with me online there. And you can also follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/TuskyDrake. And that's where I'll have all kinds of information posted this week about the upcoming Women Redeemed webcast. And that will take place on Thursday evening, 7 o'clock Central Time. And it's operated through Facebook. You can just go to facebook.com/KriegelBooks, KREGEL, and click on the Women Redeemed button. You can sign up for a reminder there, but again, it's Thursday evening, 7 o'clock Central Time, and it's a live webcast with myself, Kim Cotola, Don Scott Jones, tackling some really tough issues that we often want to avoid in the Christian community, but we're there to offer a safe place and give women hope.
Amen. Now, how long is the webcast going to be?
Well, it's slated to last about an hour and a half. We're each going to have an introduction and a segment of teaching, and then time for question and answer. But we are prepared to stay open a little longer, depending on, you know, the ladies who are visiting and what their needs are and the stories they want to share and the questions that they have.
Amen. Amen. And so be sure to go to Facebook/ KriegelBooks. .com, or is that how it goes?
It's just facebook.com/ Kriegel Books, or if you're on Facebook, you can just search Kriegel, KREGEL, Kriegel Books, and just go to their Facebook page and click on the Women Redeemed button.
Amen. Well, we wish you the best. Of course, we're to keep you in our prayers, and we'll definitely try and tune in on that day as well, and check out the conference. And, you know, God's going to keep using you. Just keep going through those doors, my sister.
Well, thank you so much, David.
Thanks for being on the show. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time.
Bless you.
All right, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
Amen. That was Teskey Drake. And, of course, we have Kim Cotola next. I forgot to tell her that. But we do have Kim Cotola next. And we're going to be able to broadcast that show for you in just a few minutes. And we'll be back and have something for you. But that is an important subject. You know, I forgot to ask you, even tell her about the statistics that Kriegel put on their information that they sent me, and just the percentage of miscarriages. 31% of all pregnancies end in miscarriage, stillbirth, and infant loss. You know, that's an estimated 19% of all adult population has experienced the death of a child. That is just phenomenal. You're looking at about approximately 26,000 pregnancies end in stillbirth every year. You know, we're in the modern century here, and we're still 26,000 pregnancies. So there's a lot of things that can go into that, but we're not going to go that way with it. We just want to know, you know, how to help people that are going through it. And I don't know what God is doing, but I know I have a strong women's ministry that listens, a strong viewership and listenership of ladies listening, and maybe you're needing this. Maybe God is wanting to do this for you. Last week we had Tammy Kennedy here in the station, and we had another author, and they talked about sexual abuse, and now we're talking about abortions and talking about miscarriages. So Kim Cotola is going to talk to us about abortions, and we're going to talk to her. And tomorrow we have another person as well, and we'll cover that as when we talk to Kim. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Thanks again for my guest, Teskey Drake, mommieswithhope.com. Visit her website. Get more information about the webcast, and we'll be right back.
Economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency. But you can make a difference because prayer changes things. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then God will heal the land." Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall and let your voice be heard at the place where America was born. Stand up for righteousness as multitudes gather to turn to our only hope for transformation, America for Jesus 2012. Register online today at AmericaForJesus2012.org. Answer the call to prayer and join us at America for Jesus 2012 on September 28th and 29th on Independence Mall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
A billboard at the Chicago White Sox spring training camp who won the 2006 World Series reads, "If you first succeed, repeat." Former Yankee Joe Girardi on manager Joe Torre. His best skill as a leader was he always made you feel safe with him. He left you with the feeling that we'll be okay if we stick together. With Joe, I always felt safe coming to the clubhouse. Benjamin Franklin. If you're willing to give up credit, you can get anything done. Shaquille O'Neal at age 34. The older you get, the wiser you get, and the wise man always wins. And someone said, character is whatever it takes to stop you. For more quotes, go to asecondlookatsports.org.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Our struggle is not against people, but against powers and principalities. It's against spiritual forces of evil. The solution to any earthly crisis is to disarm and bring down the spiritual strongman that has satanic authority over people and situations in a specified territory. In Glasgow, my hometown, the strongman uses a tribal culture that manifests in urban gangs, who use violence and addiction to control the people. Strategic power and intercession are the weapons of our warfare, and only by targeting the spiritual strongmen and territorial spirits can we hope to put Jesus on the throne. Only when the Prince of Peace has full authority can we expect to bring lasting peace to any land. Lord Jesus, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Amen.
Crisis Management and the Plunder of the Working Man. The plunder of the working man and the poor. The prophet Isaiah said, "You rulers of Sodom, what do you mean by crushing my people?" Why did Congress force banks to give loans to people they knew could not repay? "What do you mean by crushing my people?" says the Lord. "As for you predator lenders, shame on you too. You knew they could not repay." Isaiah says, "Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with you. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and to covet things you could not afford." Isaiah 3. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. How the faithful city has become a socialist harlot, selling virtue for class envy. Church of the King, MacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402. Side with God against yourself and be a winner. Join us at 10:30 on Sunday morning.
Who or what is to blame for the incredible youth crisis in America today, and how can we fix it? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with Shepherd's Hill Farm with a hard word. I would take issue with the fact that we actually have a youth crisis today, although our youth are surely suffering. Any youth crisis we have is a result of a greater parent crisis, which is an outworking of a greater cultural crisis, which is a byproduct of an even more significant church crisis. 2 Chronicles 7:14 seems to indicate, until we, God's people, can get our act together, we can't expect our land to be healed. When our culture no longer puts a premium on stuff and self, when we quit being a nation of style over substance, our land can heal. God, family, and a return to a premium on moral character will then fill the void. This will produce more good and godly parents, who will then produce more good and godly youth.
Trace is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, a Christ-centered and biblically based program serving at-risk teens. Watch our video and learn more at shfteens.org.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection. And welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yannis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We just finished an interview with Teske Drake, and she's part of the women's webcast of Redeemed. And we have another heavy hitter here, Mrs. Kim Cotola. How are you doing, ma'am?
David, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm doing real well. Thank you.
Now, I see that you've had a background in the broadcasting industry, so you know you're going to make me work today, aren't you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I started in radio when I was 23 years old, and I was 22 when I had my first job. I was in a small market in St. Cloud, Minnesota, for my first job. Started from 11 at night to 4 in the morning, David. So I'm sure you can appreciate that.
Yes,
God does not despise the day of small beginnings.
Amen.
And then a year later, I was assigned my dream job. I had made it back to my second hometown, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and the number 15 market, and I had my own show, and, well, I was really on my way. The problem is that I got pregnant at almost the same time. And we were engaged. He had seen me through my broadcasting school. I took a vocational program, you know, and we sort of had a commuter relationship while I was working in St. Cloud. And when the news of the pregnancy came, it was a crisis for him. And I imagined, you know, that I would share this news and we'd go ahead and get married, but that's not how it worked out. And so he insisted on an abortion instead. And, you know, although I God prospered me and I continued to advance in that career, I eventually hosted a morning show on that same station and was a news anchor, which led to a one-year stint in television news on CBS's WCCO. And then I went to their radio affiliate and hosted my own talk show for years and eventually ended up in Christian radio. And the Christian radio is where the story gets really interesting, because that's what happened after God redeemed that abortion. And I really want to encourage anyone listening today who has an abortion in your past that no longer needs to determine your future. When we have something that is so deeply troubling that we have not reconciled with God and that we have not grieved and overcome, it colors everything that we do in our work, and everything good that God brings into our life, you know, exists within the shadow of that one event. And I'm here to give hope that it doesn't need to be the end of the story, that there is redemption and that there's mercy and grace for the worst mistake of your past, the worst sin that any of us could have committed in the cross with Christ.
Now, how have you always been saved? I mean, have you even during that time of making that decision, were you with the Lord at that time as well?
I was not. I had good teaching. I had a Roman Catholic upbringing, and I cannot blame my teachers, but my child's heart did not understand redemption and grace and mercy. I had a concept in my head, and I think this is really common, David. We make up God, and the God I made up was he was really angry about sin, and he punished people for sin, and I did not know how to ever satisfy his punishments, and so I felt like he was probably just angry with me all the time, so I gave up trying to please him. And, of course, you know, if that's how God operated, we'd all be in trouble, but that's not who God is. That was just my incomplete understanding. So, no, I was not born again. I had fear of God, and this was the big problem after the abortion, because my heart knew it was wrong. And even without being born again, you know, as Romans says, as God's Word says in Romans, you know, no, none of us is without excuse, because God has given us a conscience. So, but then the big problem for me became, well, how do I have a relationship with God? Because he must be angry. I know that he's upset about this, as I am. Does he hate me? Am I going to hell? What about the baby? You know, and so when I set out to answer those questions, and when God found me and provided the answers through His Word and by His Holy Spirit and with people, with God's people loving me and accepting me, it really became my joy to go and tell others about this amazing good news that we have about grace and forgiveness.
Now, was there plenty of materials out there on the Christian viewpoint of abortions for you to grab when you start having questions about it afterwards?
Well, I was redeemed in 2001, and I was born again about 10 years after the abortion. There was a lot of devastation and destruction in the wake of that in my own life. I had a marriage that ended in divorce because Christ was not at the center of it, and we both had baggage. I'll speak for myself. I had a lot of baggage in that marriage. God also gave us two beautiful, healthy children. My children are young adults now, and praise God, they're doing well in life. But, you know, after the divorce is when God really got a hold of me and gave me the gift of understanding the cross. So I did accept Christ as my Savior. I was in my late 30s. But when a few years later, God provided a man who I'm now married to, Bruce, my husband of almost 20 years, you know, we started attending a good scripture-based church where the word was preached, and it was a pro-life church, so I heard the message of, you know, that life begins before birth and so on. And, you know, for those 10 years, it was a very painful experience for me to be in church.
Yeah.
Because I was so close to knowing and my freedom in Christ, but I really didn't have my freedom in Christ. And I don't know, again, my ignorance, my own fear. I think, you know, abortion is a fear-based decision for almost everyone who enters into it. The idea that women are exercising a right to choose and that that's the mindset that's going on, I don't think so. I think almost every woman who chooses it is driven by fear. Fear of her future, fear of loss of reputation, fear of economic deprivation, fear. So if you're a person who's fear-based going into it, and now you add in an unholy fear of God, you know, it's a big trap. It's a big trap. As God began to bring the light into this for me, I found that there were some resources available, but I wasn't able to reach out for them until I knew the safety of Christ's love for me.
Mm. Now, is the biggest obstacle, you know, God forgives you, but is it the biggest obstacle is you forgiving yourself as well?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question, David, because for me, it's a good question, and it's a way to think of it, you know, that we do need to forgive ourselves for our sin. And for me, what that really means is I need to accept that I have limitations, that I am subject to sin, and until my life is perfected in heaven with the Lord, I am going to fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
I mean, this is where it is. You know, we have to come to terms with that, every one of us as an individual. You know, that becomes a total change of heart, I think, that God gives us when we get the gift of repentance, right? So there's that has to happen. But I think when you have lost a child to abortion, it becomes very confusing because, you know, what abortion does is it brings about unrequited parental love. I mean, do you have children, David?
Yes, I have four of them.
Okay, so we know what it feels like to have your child return your love to you.
Amen.
There's nothing feels better in the whole world than a sincere hug around the neck from your child, than a sincere, unsolicited, I love you, Daddy. Wow. I mean, is there anything better than that
in
life?
No, nothing.
So a parent's heart longs for that, but there's no means to receive love from your child after you have destroyed them. Again, it's a terrible bind we find ourselves in. And so this mourning that goes on, which is natural, we always mourn when someone we love dies. The problem with abortion is we learn to love our children too late because then we cannot receive any love back from them. And you know, or so it seems in our minds, but through the power of Christ, he becomes our heavenly bridge for us to have a channel to express parental love toward our children, if only in our prayers to him about them. And, you know, this is the love of Christ in me, the hope of glory, that he has given me the assurance that he has received the children that we have rejected into his heart in heaven. And this is the victory that he has won for us, even though we rejected and destroyed our children. He gives us the victory. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Now, we're talking to Kim Cotola. She's written the book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion. It's forwarded by Ruth Graham. And tell us about that. Ruth Graham, you've worked with her ministry for a while.
I did. I was hosting a show, as I said, a Christian talk show on KTIS in Minneapolis and on Faith Radio Network in the Upper Midwest. And Ruth came in for an interview and was talking about her conference ministry, which had resulted after her book, In Every Pew Sits a Broken Heart. Her ministry was to try to tackle all of the issues that are so difficult for us to bring with us to church. So she was dealing with domestic violence and abuse and addictions and pornography and suicidal depression and all of the things that, you know, pastors... These are time-consuming issues, and we need training and equipping on how to help one another with some of these deep problems. So this is what her conference ministry was seeking to do, and as we completed the interview, I asked her, do you have anyone who speaks on the problem of abortion? And she said, no, but many people ask me about that, and I don't really know what to say. And so that began a conversation, and I joined her, and so we traveled with the conference team for 3 years, and we're very open to that coming, being revived. Right now it's lying dormant, if I could put it that way. But we're all hoping and praying for more opportunities to bring that conference to people, because that really was the genesis for the book, David. You know, here we are in a conference, and how do we reach someone? You've got a weekend at best, or maybe a couple of hours in a workshop. People who are so broken over grief and guilt with abortion, and the Holy Spirit impressed upon me they need to know the love of Christ, and they need to, and as I pressed into his word, I saw that they need to believe, we need to believe that those healing encounters that Jesus had with people were historical events. They weren't parables. Those were real people.
Amen.
The lame man at the pool got up and walked after 38 years. The woman who was bleeding for 12 years, I think, one of the Gospels records, stopped bleeding when she touched the hem of his robe.
Amen.
These are our spiritual ancestors, right? If we had a photo album, their pictures would be in there.
That's good.
Right? And Jesus wrote the captions. For the lame man in the pool, the caption is, "Do you want to get well?" And that just fascinates me. You know, what happened between Jesus asking him that question and the man saying, well, there's nobody here to help me into the pool, and Jesus saying, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. You know, can we appropriate that ministry moment into our situation when we're stuck, feeling that our faith has just been stunted in its growth? For, in my case, it was 23 years, not 38 years, like the lame man. But, I mean, abortion leaves people stuck in these binds that I've described for a long time. And so I wanted to paint these portraits of people who got healed by Jesus so that we could say, I see myself in that picture, and this healing is for me. And that's what I'm really hoping to do. You know, this is, and I saw it work. I saw the gospel change people's hearts in a workshop setting in those conferences. And it's an amazing thing to watch hope dawning on someone's face.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Because they start to believe what Christ can really do for them, what he has already done for us, and that it's for us and for me as an individual. When someone starts to understand that, it's wonderful to see.
And you can literally see the release of their pain or the release of what they're holding over their head. I mean, the enemies will fool people for years of why they should be in guilt and stuff. But some, a workshop like yours and your book is helping people get released. That's awesome.
Well, and you start to, I included some of the thumbnail sketches of some of the stories because, you know, we don't, I'm pretty representative of what abortion in America looks like, if you will, David. Okay, so I was 23. I'm white. I was not a minority person. I was in a stable relationship but not married. We were using birth control that failed. I have a Christian background, and the relationship fell apart. I think that in two-thirds of the cases of abortion, you know, that profile fits. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's not primarily a teen problem. One out of every 10 teenagers in America has had an abortion. And it's a very common problem. One out of three adult women in America has had an abortion. And as I said, the numbers in the church are pretty similar to the numbers in the population as a whole. Faith doesn't protect us from abortion. But, you know, so but you still can't assume that there's one profile or that what happened to me is similar to what happened to others, because the stories I heard were and I continue to hear stories, and they're all so different. You know, so many women have felt forced by their partners or their parents if they were young, that they would be disowned or that they would be harmed if they didn't go ahead and have this abortion.
Wow.
That's a very different circumstance than I faced. There are women who are facing doctor's advice to abort a child with no predicted quality of life. There are girls who are pregnant at 14, so different than when I was pregnant at 23 and trying to launch a career. I met a woman who aborted her child at 45. They had raised their family and launched them, and now they were getting ready to prepare for their retirement. She aborted, and a year later her husband died.
Wow.
And she said to me, "I see now God was trying to give me a consolation for what was ahead in losing my husband."
Mm.
And, you know, so the pain that she has had to resolve is very different.
Wow.
From what I went through. And so some of these stories are included in the book to help us understand the whole, put it in context, that abortion harms everyone involved, the men and women who choose it and the children who lose their lives. But God is able to redeem all of it through his love.
Amen. Well, tell us about the Women Redeemed webcast that's coming up and your part in it.
I'm very excited about this. It's coming up on Thursday night this week at 8 o'clock Central, and it's a live webcast event on Facebook. So you would just go to facebook.com/Kregel Books, K-R-E-G-E-L, and there you will see a page about how to register and how to become involved with the event, and there will be some discount copies of my book available. I'm going to be joined by other Kregel authors, Teske Drake and Don Scott Jones. And, you know, on the face of it, Teske's ministry to help women who have lost children to miscarriage and Don's ministry to help those impacted by sexual abuse, you wouldn't think that there is a strain that runs through all three of our ministries, but it's amazing to me how God has brought it together. Our theme verse for this webcast, and it's like a conference that you can do from home. That's what I love about it. It's like going to a conference, but you don't have to go anywhere. You can just go to your computer. The theme verse for the event is from Psalms 107, verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." So that's what we're going to do. We're going to tell the story, and we're going to give you a chance if you join us to tell your story. And we're going to show how God redeems. Not only that he does redeem to encourage your faith, but show you how he redeems and how redemption can become real in your life.
Amen. Now, tell everybody how they can get to this webcast.
Again, you would just go to facebook.com/Kregel Books, K-R-E-G-E-L, and there's a link there for you to register. I think that you, once you follow that link and you register, there may be a little pop-up that comes and you have to do something to get your screen set up. So, but it'll all be on that main page, on that main link.
Well, now, have you been doing a lot of advertisement for this, or a lot of shows and stuff, getting people ready to get this?
We have been privileged to have a number of interviews, and so I have had a chance to speak on a few media outlets. And, you know, as a result of writing the book, I also am hosting a weekly program of my own called Cradle My Heart Radio, presenting stories of redemption and expert guests who can help those who have not yet found our freedom in Christ. Yeah, Sunday nights.
Where can they listen to this?
If you go to my website, cradlemyheart.org/radio, the station listings are there, and there are links to listen online. There's even a free app that you can download and listen on your mobile phone. So we're on a 12 station network so far, and I'm praying for God to expand it even more.
Well, you just got expanded. I'll carry it if I could get it somehow, either live or I could get the archive of it, and we'll put you on our talk show channel. And
oh wow, that's fabulous! Yes, we'll talk.
Is it an hour or half hour show?
Praise the Lord! Thank you, David. It's a 1 hour program.
Oh, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for just stories and stuff like that. People that have the ministering in them, and I can see you do, my sister. So we'll talk about it. But
awesome.
Amen. Well, I want you to take a few minutes and also tell everybody how they can get your book and tell us about your website again. But I want you to take a few minutes if you can. And if someone's out there, and I just feel this, if someone's out there and they're needing some help on this subject, what would you tell them?
Jesus loves you. I feel so tender even just saying that, because I know what it's like to be crippled by shame. I know what it's like to sit in the pew in church listening to God's truth and feeling that if anybody knew who I really am, they would run me out of this place. I know what it's like to reject yourself because you are so appalled at where your fear allowed you to go. I understand. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we will be, you will be the new creation that the Word promises that we become when we are in Christ. Corrie ten Boom said, you know, if you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Look at what he has done for you, taking it all upon himself so that you don't have to bear it. He paid for it with his blood on the cross so that you can be made clean and made new. And you do not have to suffer any longer. And I want you to understand that I'm not telling you that you can be forgiven so that this will finally be over. Because you know what? I didn't want it to be over. I wanted to stay connected to the child that I lost. But the way to do this is to allow Christ to take you there. That you can, it is safe to grieve and let go of those painful memories and allow God to begin a new relationship through Christ with the hope that we have of him arranging this joyful reunion that we can look forward to in the future. And that we can have a relationship with Christ where we're open and we're honest and we're vulnerable, and we don't have to be who we were. Everyone makes mistakes, and we all sin. But in Christ, we can be made new.
Amen. Amen. Kim, give us your websites again.
My website for this topic, if you're needing help after abortion, I hope that it's a safe place. That's my goal, is that it would be a safe place for you to visit. It's cradlemyheart.org. And my website, if you're interested in some of my other work or my speaking ministry and some of the things that I've done in the past, that's kimketola.com. It's K-E-T-O-L-A, kimketola.com.
Amen. And the web conference, give them one more idea how to get to the conference itself.
Yes, and there are links at both of the websites I
just
mentioned.
Okay, good.
But the main one for the webcast on Thursday, facebook.com/Kregel Books, K-R-E-G-E-L, Kregel Books.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for just taking the time to be with us on the air. We really appreciate you. And anytime you want to announce a new book or a new conference or anything you're doing, we'd love to have you back.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Okay, just stay on the line. I'll be back with you in just a sec.
Okay. All right.
Amen. That was Kim Cotola, and we're talking about Cradle My Heart. And I know that there's someone out there that got touched by that. Email us, David at Rev Media Network. If you have any more questions, we'll forward that to Kim, and she'll be able to answer your back and forth. Or just go to her website and go to those sites that she gave to you, and she'll be a blessing to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow, where we're going to have the third person that's in the group that's doing the webcast, Miss Dawn Jones. We'll have her. And then we also have Cecil Murphy. Kind of like a Kriegel week for us here. We're getting all of them in here, trying to get them promoted before the conference starts, and just let y'all listeners understand who they're at, who they are, and how you can be a blessing. All right, my friends, we'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Hopefully you got all those websites. If you need those websites, again, just email us or look at our website. We'll be able to do that for you. And again, I want to thank my guests, Teske Drake, Kim Cotola, for being a part of this broadcast. And we're always excited to bring you stories of faith and stories of encouragement. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. God bless.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.